before the game, I'd said, you know, if you looked at the league table and saw that Barnhill were lying in third position and that Derry were lying second from bottom, I mean, you would have thought, well, and Barnhill haven't had a 41-3 result down in Barnhill against Derry prior to Christmas, you know, you would have thought that the odds were stacked against Derry, who had quite an experimental back line on them. There was a few injuries, but you know, it was Barnhill who started really, really strongly, but they lost their way for quite a while in the first half. They had a lot of possession. They had opportunities to move the ball wide. They had overlaps at times, but they had an obsession, every one of the backs, to cut back inside, and their coach must have been pulling his hair out, because there was one occasion in the second half when the winger looked as if he could have strolled into the corner, but he decided to cut back inside. And that was a great thing about Derry yesterday. Defensively, they were very, very good. Across the park, I mean, there was no tackles missed yesterday, and of course, it was just suiting them perfectly for Barnhill to cut back inside. But 23-11, at the end of the second half, it was 11-10 at half-time to Barnhill, so they didn't score a point in the second half. Derry got a try, conversion and a penalty, and certainly that, or two penalties, that really took them away from it. And, I mean, it gives them a bit of a chance now at the bottom of that table. We were talking earlier on, Oisín, about points difference. It's Thomond at the bottom with 7. Derry have now 11, and Skerries are 7 points ahead with 18. They beat Beckett yesterday. So there's only 7 points between them, and Derry's have to play both Beckett and Skerries being the last game of the season in the middle of April, so let's hope it doesn't come down to that one as a winner takes all. But generally speaking, yes, Ty McMaster will be delighted with the performance, especially some of the young backs. You know, young Ian Bratton scored a very, very good try on the wing. Neil Burns' kicking as usual was pretty good, but the forwards certainly stuck at their game well, and scrummies well, and line-out. And but defensively it was good yesterday. They were organised, and as I say, even though Barnhill at times looked to have an overlap, the Derry defence held firm, and when they did cut back inside, they certainly put the tackles in, and that really made a big difference. But a real morale booster for them, because that's 2 in a row now. They beat Dungannon at home on the 31st of December, and now that one. Now next week, they go up to Dungannon at Stevenson's Park. That's a big game, because Dungannon are not really going that well at the moment, and certainly they have an opportunity maybe of getting another result next week. If they do that with some of the home games coming, it gives them an opportunity maybe to get out of that bottom two, because the last thing they want to do is get into a playoff match at the end of the season, finishing second bottom.
Well, Alec, looking at the rest of the results, it certainly was a good day for the North West yesterday across Ulster. Oma, Limavady, Strabane and Letterkenny all taking victories in their respective matches.
Yeah, well, Oma going from strength to strength, Oisín. They're now in second in that championship one. They're only 2 points behind the Stonians in their games in hand, and certainly, you know, they have just gone, since their promotion a couple of years ago, and since the revamping of the club about 8 years ago, I mean, almost just, all four sides are doing so well, but that was a tremendous victory again yesterday against a former senior side, albeit ours are not the force they were, but nevertheless, Omar are competing well. That back-to-back victories against Enniskillen, home and away, before Christmas and after, that was another major boost for them, and they'll be looking forward to the Towns Cup as well, a competition which they did well in, haven't got to the final of the Junior Cup this year. So overall, it's been a tremendous season for them. And as you say, and in the Championship 2, Limavady, they had a 2018 victory against Randallstown. That now leaves them in third position with Corain, who beat CI yesterday. They go tops. And then in the Championship 3, a very good result for Letterkenny, way down to Monaghan, winning 26 points to 13. And Strabane edging through against a strong Virginia side, 7 points to 3. So as you say, all in all, certainly it was a clean sweep, if you want to look at it that way. But unfortunately, in Professional 5, Inishowen travelled up to Ballinahinch, and they lost out by 50 points to 5. But Ballinahinch have a 15, which is a very, very strong side. And, you know, Inishowen haven't had a game for a couple of weeks. But nevertheless, I mean, as you say, it's been a great, great start for them, and especially for Letterkenny and Strabane. Strabane lying fourth in that league, and Letterkenny now, I think, the sixth victory in the league. And the young side maturing, and it does well to get all these victories. Same applies to Limavady, but almost certainly the kingpins at the moment in the North West.
Yeah, certainly. So let's move on to the provincial action, and obviously the European Rugby Champions Cup. The four provinces playing this weekend. We'll start with our own in Ulster, finishing bottom of the group. They looked as if they were getting a grip of the game yesterday against Bordeaux in France, and were leading by a couple of points, but in the end, another disappointing defeat and a disappointing European campaign for them, Alec.
Yeah, It was, and as you say, I was surprised the crowd there was up in the Kingspan yesterday. You know, a lot of Ulster supporters, you can read it on the websites, that are, you know, getting a wee bit annoyed at the way the performances are going. But I think the fact that it's more or less been made clear that there's going to be a bit of a red out between on the coaching staff, whose contracts are all up and at the start for next year, and hopefully maybe a New Zealander, South African, or somebody to come in, has proved very good for both Leinster and both for Munster, and of course Pat Lamb, who did such a great job at Connacht. But there was a time yesterday where they had a great opportunity in the first half. I mean, they butchered two tries. I mean, there was the one, I think it was about 30 minutes gone, it was a great drive from line out, and I mean the ball was moved right, and all they had to do was pass the ball. Darren Cave decided to do a flat pass, flick the ball on, of course he flicked it behind three players, and I mean that was a 7-pointer thrown away, and a couple of other occasions. Young David Shanahan, unfortunately, at scrum half, I mean he's still learning his trade, but he was inexperienced. He was caught at the base of the ruck, and that led to the first try. He knocked on three times, but he did pick his game up. But Paul Marshall came on, and certainly he played a lot better. But the one thing Oisín came was very clear yesterday was that, you know, I know there's a lot of players missing from the Ulster setup, but you know the four players who probably will be in Joe Smith's squads for Six Nations, Paddy Jackson, Andrew Trumbull in the backs, Ian Henderson, Rory Best, stood out like a beacon, and that Ulster side. I mean, Henderson was absolutely superb in the loose, turning the ball over. Best was as usual. Paddy Jackson had a very good game defensively. He missed a penalty, of course, and Trumbull put on a couple of tackles which would have made you shudder, but unfortunately they just didn't get the backup, and you know, four good players doesn't make a team, and that's the way it goes.
As for the rest of the provinces, Leinster on Friday night drawn 24 apiece with Castries. It hasn't been secured yet of a home quarter-final for Leinster, but Munster securing a home quarter-final with that one against Racing 92. And with Connacht to come, there is a possibility of an all-Irish quarter-final in this competition.
Yeah, depending on the Connacht result today. I mean, Connacht are through to the quarter-finals. There's no doubt there. That's not a problem. But, I mean, it's just what happens against Toulouse today. You know, Toulouse are a funny side. I mean, they're still under the shout. But the French sometimes, you wonder at times why they're in this competition. Although, having said that, Racing Metro last night against Thomond, that was a super game. Obviously, Ronan O'Gara at the helm at Racing. But, as you say, we could still end up with a Leinster-Connacht quarter-final if Leinster were to finish fourth and Connacht fifth. But again, the result of this game today will change. Things tend to change a lot. Although that's really the only one that has to be sorted out, the Connacht one. But as regards Leinster, I mean, that was a... Castro came certainly, that was a difficult game for them. Had chances at times, but, you know, they'll be satisfied with that. You know, maybe not top in the league, but then again, it depends who you would actually come up against. And at the end of the day, if you get a home quarter final, Oisín, in the Champions Cup, you have to fancy your chances. But Munster certainly nobody will be looking forward to going down to Thomond Park. I mean, it's really back to the good old days of whenever they were reigned supreme in Europe. And it's great to see what happened. And, you know, maybe it'd be a great way to sort of, we all know what happened, unfortunately, to Anthony Foley. But, you know, maybe it's one of those things that can happen in sport that might be dedicated to him later on. But I don't see a better side at the moment than Munster. The intensity that they play with is unbelievable. Just I wish some of the Ulster forwards would watch what happens 3 metres from the line instead of throwing the ball away. Munster just consistently keep the phases going. And it's very rarely you see a Munster side that gets 10 metres from an opposition line and doesn't get over. And that's going to stand them in great stead for the rest of it. But all in all, Oisín, and I think it's interesting, it's worth noting, I sometimes get very annoyed reading some of the English press and talking about, you know, the Champions Cup, and they talk about the Pro 12, and they talk about the Premiership in England and the Top 14, and they're saying, you know, maybe there's too many Pro 12 teams allowed into the competition. Well, I hope they look at the statistics after this Champions Cup. There'll be at least there'll be four of the Pro 12 teams out of the eight in the quarterfinals, and if that doesn't say that the Pro 12 is a competition, what else would it?